Praise the Lord, everybody. Isn't the Lord good here tonight? Amen. We have so much to be thankful for in this place tonight. I give honor to the Lord tonight for everything that He's doing. And my, what a church service we had here this morning. The power of the Lord was so strong here today. And I'm just thanking God for everything that He did in this service. And I give honor to the Lord for that. Such an honor to be here with your pastor and his family. I appreciate them so very much. And I'm just thankful to be invited to come and be a part of this special event for your church. Amen. I know this is more than just a regular Sunday. This is an important time of the year for this church, and I'm just honored to be a part of it. And I do believe that God is working something miraculous here. Amen. I believe that the miraculous is going to happen here tonight. Praise God. Does anybody believe with me that God wants to do something miraculous, that God wants to work a miracle? Hallelujah. I don't think we need to limit the things that God can do. That is something we have within our power. God has no limitations, but He must work through us, and He must work through our faith, and He must work through our belief, and we don't need to have any limitations on God. Tonight we're in the middle of a stewardship campaign, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to heal somebody's body who is sick. Amen. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want to deliver someone who's dealing with bondage. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want to see a backslider come back to the Lord in this service tonight. God can do anything that we will believe that He can do. Do you believe that with me tonight? Someone shout in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. I want to give honor to the Lord, if I could just have a few moments here in opening, to give Him honor for what He's doing through our multicultural ministries of the United Pentecostal Church. This is a ministry that it's in a lot of circles, is not very well known, but it's been around for about 25 years now. And I want to just report to you tonight that God is doing wonderful things. Currently, we have ministries that are organized into 17 different ethnic or immigrant groups that are coming here to North America. Beyond those 17 groups that are focused on specific cultures, we also have three ministries that are focused on cultural groups, such as deaf evangelism. There's over 28 million deaf or hard of hearing people in North America, and we have a thriving ministry that is reaching people. It's something amazing to see someone who cannot speak get filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, cannot hear, cannot talk, but God fill them with the Holy Ghost by the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. We also have a ministry called Risen. It's a refugee and international student ministry, and that is one that is thriving as well. And, of course, we have the United Nations ministry, and God is doing great things in that. Several years ago, God opened up a door, and He has been invited to work and operate in the United Nations building in Manhattan, New York. He has been made a goodwill ambassador and special envoy from the United Nations for peace and goodwill. He is a United Pentecostal Church licensed minister and pastor. He is an apostolic, and what God is doing right there in the center of world power in Manhattan is amazing. It's mind-blowing. As a matter of fact, some of the people who've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, we can't even tell you who they are, but I'm telling you right now, God is doing a work. Hallelujah. They're at the United Nations. Some of the most powerful and influential figures in the entire planet are there and working and involved in that building. But about three times a month, there's a Bible study that goes on, and it's a Bible study that is apostolic. They teach and believe in that Bible study the same thing you teach and believe right here in this local church. And over the past several years, over 35 people have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and over 30 have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. And we give honor to the Lord for everything He's doing. We also have an intercultural missionary evangelist program. And what this basically is a missionary program for North America. And the missionaries that we recruit into that program, they are focused on specific cultures. and they will go in and start works. They'll start a preaching point or a daughter work or a brand new church among that culture. There are men and women who are gifted to reach certain cultures, and over the last 7 years, over 40 daughter works and preaching points have been started by just three missionaries, and we give God the glory for that. There are hundreds of people today that are a part of this church because of that program. And so we thank God for everything that He's doing with multicultural ministries, and we ask for your prayer for that. Would you lift your hands and pray for us right now? Just say, Lord, put your hand on the work of multicultural ministries, all of the things that are involved in that. Give us strength, Lord. Give us direction. Provide finances right now, Lord. Open the doors that we need open. Put the right people in our path to be involved with our ministry. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need you, Lord, and we depend on you. Amen. And of course, I probably should have led by saying that the reason for this ministry is that the United Pentecostal Church is intentional about reaching every culture that's living here in North America today. And despite what the political rhetoric sometimes is, despite what the folks in government sometimes say, people still want to come to North America. They still want to be a part of this country as well as Canada. They're coming here. I read a statistic on the immigration website just this last week that said every year in the United States, we are legally immigrating 1 million people. That's 1 million people. Now, I'm from the state of North Carolina, which is around 8 to 9 million. So for contrast, if you put those things together, what we're basically saying is every 8 to 9 years, we're adding the state of North Carolina to the population from global immigrants that are coming to this country. Now, people have different ideas about that. And I can tell you in different places in the United States particularly, people have feelings about that. And some don't like it. But here's what I tell you. There's a reason why God is bringing people to this country. And I don't care what the government's saying. I'm not working for the government. I don't know what immigration's going to do. I don't work for immigration. I work for Jesus Christ. And what God says is we're going to have a revival with people that are hungry for the Word of God. Amen. So we want to reach everybody that's here, everybody within our grasp. And we thank God for everything that is happening with that. Amen. Praise God. I give God glory because I shouldn't even be here tonight. I shouldn't be here for a lot of reasons. More immediate was they tried to cancel my flight to come here. And we got that worked out at the very last minute. And I made it here. I didn't get into town till after 11 o'clock last night, but I got here. But when I was 4 years old, a tree that had been cut down, the men in our church were cutting the roots from the base of that tree. And something happened. I don't know exactly what it was, but that tree rolled over and fell down from being suspended about 12 feet in the air. It fell down directly on my back, and it crushed my body into the ground. I had no pulse. I had no life. I had blood coming out of all over my body, coming through the pores of my skin. My body was completely crushed by the weight of an over 80-foot-tall pine tree. So I say tonight, I'm not supposed to be here, but God began to move. You can't tell me that God doesn't still do miracles, because I'm here tonight as a witness that God is a miracle worker. God's not just a miracle worker. He's also a healer. That means that God can do things that are supernatural in a moment, but He can also raise things up after a little while through a healing process. They prayed for me, and right there on the ground in the parking lot of our church, God touched me, and I began to breathe again after being out for several minutes, 3 to 5 minutes. I had no pulse and no breath in my body. But they prayed, and they prayed the prayer of faith in Jesus' name, and as they prayed that, I began to breathe again right there. But the greater story is 18 days later, I walked out of a hospital on my own 2 feet. I was healed from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And I give glory and honor to the Lord for that tonight. And I'm telling you that because you've got to know here tonight before anything else happens, I believe that God can heal. I believe that God can work miracles. I believe that God can do the supernatural. And if you don't believe that, you're in the wrong place tonight, because I believe that God is going to do something for somebody here in this place. If you believe that with me, clap your hands and shout unto the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Turn with me, if you will, Genesis chapter 26. Reading of verse 1 of Genesis 26. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines. Verse 12, after verse 1 sharing that there's a famine, in verse 12 the Bible says, then Isaac sowed in that land. There's a famine, no food, nothing growing. But the Bible says that Isaac sowed in that land of famine and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Turn with me now to 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll read a portion of verses that tells an interesting story. The Lord, speaking in verse 9 to the prophet Elijah, says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now what's happening here is Elijah is basically a refugee. He's running from the wicked queen Jezebel. He cannot show his face in public. In any populated place, he's hiding out. And the Lord says, go to Zarephath, and I've commanded this woman there, a widow woman, to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman, the person he was looking for, he came to the gate of the city, and behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, why are you doing that? That part wasn't written, but I'm just guessing it kind of went that way. Why are you getting that water? Why are you taking care of that? I got another thing. Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering up these sticks because I'm about to go up in my house. And I'm just kind of chavising at this right now. I'm about to take these sticks in my house and make a fire. And I'm going to take my little oil and my little meal in the barrel. And I'm going to make that for my son. And we're going to eat it and die. She wasn't a very positive lady. We're going to take what we have, we're going to eat it, and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Now we could just stop right there, but can I say that to someone one more time? Fear not. Look at your neighbor and say, fear not. Come on, say it to him one more time. Say, fear not. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. He's a pretty aggressive, forward type of guy, isn't he? She said, I ain't got enough but for one. He said, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make it, but give it to me.
Yeah.
That's all right if you got one. I'll take it. Yeah. You just go ahead and make that one, like you said, but give it to me. But then you go make yourself another one, ignoring the fact that there ain't enough for another one. Bring it unto me, and after, make for thee and for thy son. And then he begins to speak in the prophetic, because he says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he," that's her son, "and," or that's the prophet rather, "and her house," that's her son. So she ate, the prophet ate, and her son ate, did eat many days. And the Bible says in verse 16, "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." I want to preach to you tonight for just a few moments. There is a miracle in the making. There's a miracle in the making. Will you lift your hands? Let's pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, right now we're asking you to speak. We're asking you to do a quick work here, God. We got spaghetti getting warm right now. We got an offering we're about to receive. We got things that we've got to do. But right now, speak a word to somebody. I pray against unbelief right now. Oh, I pray against fear right now. In the name of Jesus, we know you're about to work a miracle in this place. But first of all, we need you to work a miracle in our hearts and in our minds. And I'm praying that anybody that needs the Holy Ghost, they'll be filled right now. Anybody that needs to be healed, they'll be healed in this service right now. Because Lord, we know that when we begin to loose our finances, that's one of the greatest indicators of the releasing of our faith. And Lord, as that begins to happen in this place, we're praying for the supernatural to break forth. We're praying for the miraculous to fall. We're praying that there would be a miracle in the making here tonight at Revival Tabernacle. Can somebody begin to shout in Jesus' name with me right now? Oh, let's magnify the Lord for a few moments. Hallelujah. Jesus, we need you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Martha Berry was a lady with a vision to have children. She began a school for poor children, but she had no books, she had no building, and she had no money. But she had a dream. There came an opportunity, and so she was able to meet with Mr. Henry Ford. And when she met with him, she asked him for a donation. And Mr. Ford, after hearing her request, reached into his pocket and he gave Martha Berry a dime. I don't know what it would have happened if it had been me. Most people would have been insulted, because here is a multimillionaire, and all he could give was a dime. But Martha took that dime and she bought a package of seeds. And she planted a garden, raised a small crop, and she sold it and bought more seeds. After 3 or 4 harvests, she had raised enough money to purchase an old building for the children to have a school. So she returned to Mr. Ford and said, "Look what your dime has done." The story goes that Ford was so impressed that he donated $1 million to what would become known as the Berry School, because he saw what happened when a woman took what she had and she put something with it. See, there's something powerful about mixing faith with action. Can somebody say action? James chapter 2 is a terrific text of scripture, and it speaks to us on many levels. But one thing you will be clear on after reading that chapter in James is that faith without action is not faith at all. Because James declares that faith without works is dead. There are some types of miracles that we may receive that are based on God's will and God's power alone, such as a divine healing. a miraculous act of safety, such as when a car drifts into your lane in the oncoming traffic, and all you've got time to do is breathe the name of Jesus, and somehow God steps in and that crisis is immediately averted. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened just to me in my life, but I'm thankful for that type of faith, and I'm thankful for those types of miracles. Anybody with me right there? But I'm reminded in the study of the Word of God that these are not the only types of miracles that take place. There is a level of the miraculous that is reached only through action. Faith mixed with action, or faith mixed with works. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In the story of Lazarus, we know that Jesus came late. He missed a funeral, and by the time he arrived, there wasn't nothing left but the crying. Lazarus was 4 days dead. He was in the tomb. He was wrapped up in grave clothes so tight that he wasn't able to ever get his own self out of them. But I'd like you to picture the scene as they bring Jesus to the tomb of a man who's 4 days dead. Now, you know the story because you've read or heard this before, but Jesus Christ is about to speak three words. He's going to simply open his mouth and say, "Lazarus, come forth." And when he says that, a dead man whose soul is likely already in some other heavenly place is going to be quickened like a fish on the end of a fishing line. It's going to be jerked back and reeled in and slammed back into a 4 day dead body. And the ailment or the cause of whatever it was that sent Lazarus to the grave is going to be removed. That's what Jesus is about to do. But as he stands there in front of this tomb and he's about to do all of that, he looks over to the people standing there and he says, "Roll away the stone." Now, I know this is a little crazy, but what does a man who has the ability to raise a dead person from the dead need anybody's help with moving a rock? But you see, the deal is, God don't always do for us what we can do for ourselves. In other words, there are some things that only God can do, and then there are things that we have to do. And God's not really in the business doing the things that we can already do. They didn't need no help moving the stone. They could do that. They had no way of raising the dead, but that was his job. There was something that was going to happen there. They had to mix their work with his power. They had to take their abilities and mix it with the power of an almighty God manifest in flesh. In other words, the Lord is saying, "You do what you can do, and then I'll do what I can do." Hallelujah. I need God to step into my life and begin to work like that. Hallelujah. Sometimes we want God to do it all, but we need to hear from the Lord tonight that he needs us to take a step, and then he'll take a step. The good thing about it is my steps are called baby steps, but when he steps, it's a God move. When he steps, he makes movement that we can't even imagine. Can somebody shout to the Lord right now? Something powerful happens when faith and action are mixed together. The writer of Hebrews, he laments the failure of some to be able to profit from the Word of God, because in Hebrews 4, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached to them did not profit them, because it was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." In other words, what he's saying is, even the Word of God can lose its power if you don't do something about what you are hearing. That's why we believe in praising God during the preaching. That's why we believe in shouting and saying amen, because amen is my affirmation. Can somebody say that right now? Amen is my acknowledgement. Amen is saying, "I believe it. Amen. amen is saying, I agree with it, and I'm here tonight to talk about miracles. I'm here to talk about faith. So maybe we need to shout amen, hallelujah, because that's mixing faith with the Word of God, hallelujah. The Word says I can be free. The Word says I can be delivered. The Word says I can be healed. The Word says I can be free from bondage. The Word says I can be forgiven. Somebody needs to shout amen, hallelujah. Somebody needs to mix faith with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you're baking a cake, those separate ingredients are not very appealing on their own. Nobody in this room wants to eat a mouthful of flour chased by a raw egg, washing it down with some milk. It don't matter how much sugar you put on it. It ain't none of that good. It's not too appealing. Oh, but something different happens when you start mixing it all together. When you take that flour and crack that egg in it and mix in the milk and the sugar and you start stirring it up in that bowl, oh, something begins to happen. Even before it cooked, you got little kids standing around the table talking about, can I stick my finger in the bowl and can I have that bowl when you're done? Because you see, there's something miraculous happens when you start mixing and when you start taking that faith and mixing it together with those ingredients. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can tell you right now, you can believe that a cake can come out of flour and egg and milk. But you know what you got to do in order to see that happen? You got to mix it together. Hallelujah. Faith is going to work. You can count on faith in God to work, but you've got to do something. You've got to take a step. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like God is setting the stage here right now. Anybody feel what I'm feeling in this house? Can anybody see what I'm seeing in this house right now? Oh, it's time to start mixing it up. Hallelujah. Time to start mixing faith together. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what things look like in your life right now. It's time to mix faith. Hallelujah. With some action. It's time to step out and do whatever I can do and trust God that He's going to do what He can do. Oh, hallelujah. I love it how it said in Genesis that there was a famine in the land. You know what a famine means? Everybody's hungry. There's a famine. No food. No crops. No farmer's market. No watermelon. No cantaloupe. No oranges. No vegetables. Nothing. And old Isaac, he said, there's a famine in the land. What are we going to do? Everybody else was being hungry. But Isaac said, let's go plant some crops. Only a fool would plant a crop in the middle of a famine. But Isaac said, let's plant some crops. And in the middle of the worst situation, now, we don't really understand what famine is now. Oh, no. We got things like peanut butter and we got things that we got food that we're making in labs now. Nobody in the United States has to die of hunger. It might be some doing it, but nobody has to. We got food everywhere. Fake food, processed food. We eat more non-food than we do real food. If you don't believe me, start reading the ingredients. If you can't pronounce it, it ain't real. Don't let me get off on that. Mm-hmm. If you can't read the word, it's not real. Nobody had anything to eat. And Isaac said, let's plant. And that is mixing faith and action together. It wasn't just something that came on him and said, you know, I think God wants me to plant. He had to do something else. He had to go and invest money into buying seed. He had to take money he didn't have and buy seed. And then he had to go out and he had to get down on his hands and knees. And he had to tear up some land and cut some rows in the earth. Then he had to start getting down there and planting little seeds one by one and putting a little water over it and tamping it down and just making sure he had to mix that faith that God could do something in the midst of a bad situation. He had that faith that God could move it, that God could answer, that God could step in, but he also had some action. He made something of his faith. He put something into it. He said, you know what? I'm going to plant. Nobody's planting, but I'm going to plant. And the Bible says in the same year that God blessed him 100 fold. Hallelujah. I want you to understand what's happening here. It wasn't that the crop just grew. That wasn't the miracle. It wasn't simply the fact that he put a seed in the dirt and it grew out of it. That wasn't really the miracle. The miracle was in the same year that it grew 100 fold. That means that 100 more times came out of the faith and the action that he put into it. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight. You're looking at a famine. You're looking at hard times. You're looking at struggle on every side. But this is a good time to plant a seed of faith. Oh, can somebody feel what I'm feeling right now? I may not have everything that I need, but it's a good time to trust God. My family situation, it may not be what I want it to be, but it's a good time to trust in God. I ain't got all the money that I need, but it's a good time to trust in God. I don't dress as nice as I want to, but it's a good time to trust in God. I'm not driving the car or living in the house that I may want, but it's a good time to trust in God. I'm 5 days late on the rent, but it's a good time to trust in God. Oh, can somebody help me right now? It's a good time to trust God. Hallelujah. It's a good time to trust in the Lord. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Can someone shout right now? Can someone praise God? Can we mix some faith with the Word of God? It's a good time to plant. It's a good time to trust God. It's a good time to plant a seed of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians, a word said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Yeah. Hallelujah. A couple of years ago, you can be seated. We were building up to a capital campaign. We wanted to build a new sanctuary. We wanted to turn our gymnasium into a sanctuary at the church I pastored, because the seating was about 350. And we felt to take it to about 450, 500. That was the only way we could do it. So I was building up toward a capital campaign. And about 6 months before I was ever going to get to a moment like you're having here tonight, I taught a series on Wednesday nights at my church about stewardship, about managing money God's way, and with all of that. And, you know, during that time when I was teaching, I'm really a teacher at heart. I prefer teaching about anything else, but I was just teaching about stewardship and what the Bible says about money and finances and all that stuff. And I was just breaking it all out, just throwing it out there, you know. 15% of everything Jesus Christ ever said had to do with money. I was just throwing it out there. And I was just teaching, and that night I said, you know what, church? I said, we need more Christian people to really start thinking about getting out of debt, paying off all your bills. Because when you get out of debt, you pay off all your bills. Look at what you can do. You see, it don't really matter how much money you make. That's not the important thing. It don't matter if you make $40,000 a year or $400,000 of a year. If you don't have a car payment, if you don't have a mortgage payment, you got more than other people do. And I'm not trying to get off on all that tonight, but this is what I was just teaching. I was saying, if we'll begin to invest ourselves and get ourselves out of debt so that we can give, God's going to bless. Well, there's a family in my church, Raymond and Sylvia McDonald. And they didn't even tell me that this, like, struck a chord with them. Sylvia is an immigrant from Costa Rica. Raymond is, he's from Alaska. And they didn't tell me they were doing this, brother. But they started doing that. They took some of the things I taught, and they started paying off bills. And, I mean, they just really got after it. And over about 6 or 8 months' time, before this campaign even started, they pretty much wiped out all of their discretionary debt. Now, they still had a house payment and car payments, but they got rid of all the car payments and department store cards and all that kind of stuff. They just worked hard, saved, and, you know, they just paid it off. Because, you know, man of God said they could. So they did it. Well, that capital campaign started, and they started giving. Because guess what? They weren't paying it to Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. So they begin to give toward that capital campaign to get that money together for that building. Well, Raymond has a disease. It's called Crohn's disease. And for, at this time, it had been 7 years. Now it's been about 10 years. But Raymond has a permanent colostomy bag right here on his side. It's an affliction that he deals with every day of his life. And his body has been like that for over 7 years. Because he had this disease going back over 10 years of his life. And it started when he lived in Alaska But much of his health care was when they lived for 3 or 4 years in Costa Rica. So in a foreign country is where his health care was mainly done prior to moving to where I live in North Carolina. Well, throughout all this time, the government would never approve him for disability. Now, it just boggles the mind. Just think about it. A man who cannot work a regular job because he's dealing with a colostomy bag, I mean, there's not much you can do. But they would not approve him for disability. And years had gone by. At that time, over 7 years had gone by that he was not being approved for this disability. And every time it would go to court, they would bring him all the documentation from the doctors in Costa Rica. And guess what language that paperwork was written in? Well, it wasn't English. And so the doctors, the judges in the court system, they said, well, we can't really do anything with this. We don't understand what that says. We don't know if this is legitimate or not. And rather than getting it translated to see, they just kept throwing it out, pushing it back 6 months at a time. And years were going by. His wife is having to support them completely. They're living on a shoestring budget. And in the midst of all this, they start giving. They ain't hardly got nothing to give. They're using every type of government agency there is to help them get by, but they're giving. And I'm not talking about just a dollar here and there. They're giving everything they can give to the Lord. One day after church on a Sunday morning, I preached. I remember I had my heavy jacket on. It was like in the winter. And Raymond came to me. He had tears in his eyes. He said, Pastor, he said, we've got a appointment with the judge this week. We've got a court date this week. It's on Thursday. And he said, I'm worried about it. And the tears started rolling down his eye. And that's when I started getting serious. He said, I don't really feel like my attorney really knows what's going on with this case. And he said, I don't know if the judge is even taking this seriously. He said, I'm afraid they're going to kick it back another time. He said, we really need something to happen. And folks, sometimes just stuff happens to me, and that's one of those times it did. I just reached out and grabbed him on both sides of his head, on his shoulders like this, and I said, Raymond, and his wife was standing right there. I said, we're going to pray right now. I said, and I'm going to pray that that judge and that lawyer won't even be able to sleep until they understand your case fully through and through. So we just prayed right there. Had my overcoat on, we prayed right there. And you know what? I left and went and ate the Mexican restaurant. I forgot about it. Now, some of y'all think this might be unfeeling. I forgot about it. But I'm telling you what, I don't heal nobody. Jesus does the healing. I just do the asking. If someone gets healed, it's God's glory. If they don't get healed, it's not my fault. I'm just a vessel. So Thursday around 9:15, I was sitting about just like this, except I was 30 feet up in a tree because I was hunting deer on some property, and I had a bow in my hand. I was about to shoot every little deer that walked out, and my cell phone started vibrating, and it was Raymond, and he was saying, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. And I'm like, you got to be really still when you hunt them deer, you know, so I'm just like, just barely moving a finger. I'm typing. I was like, bro, what's going on? He's like, we're at the court. He said, you're not going to believe what's happening. And I'm like, bro, I am literally up a tree right now. And y'all think I'm exaggerating. This is exactly what's going on. He said, everything is going different. And I was like, well, good. I said, as soon as I get down, I'm going to call you. Well, I sat there for a minute and I was like, man, ain't no deer killing going to be as fun as what's about to happen. So I get down from the tree. And I get out there and I get him on the phone. I said, Raymond, what's going on, bro? He said, listen, I don't want to tell you all at once. He said, but let me just tell you like this. First of all, Sylvia and Shauna, that's his daughter, they were sitting out in the lobby outside the courtroom. I was inside waiting. He said, and a man walks through and the man started talking to Shauna. How are you doing, young lady? You're a pretty little girl. Would you like something to drink? Could I get you something to drink? I got some sodas and some candy and stuff in my office. This man goes in his office. He brings her out soda. He's giving her chips and candy and all kind of stuff. And they're just having a good time. They're talking to him. He said, well, you have a good day, sweetheart. He goes back in the office and he comes out of his office again. But when he comes out of his office, he's not wearing a suit. Now he's wearing his long black robe and he's zipping it up. It's the judge that's about to reside over Raymond's case. He walks right into Raymond's courtroom and little Shauna is sitting there. And I forgot to tell you, she was sitting there praying. She told her mother, she said, I just want to sit here and pray for daddy right now. She's out there sitting on the pew praying. And this man walks up who turns out to be the judge. The judge walks in the room. He goes and gets on in his seat up there. Everything is happening. And Raymond is sitting there. And the thing begins to open up. And the attorney is completely frazzled. She doesn't know what to do or what to say. They open up and the judge breaks all the protocols. He said, listen, I've been looking at the history of this case. He says, we're going to dispense with some protocol here. He said, first of all, attorney, and he said her name. He said, you just take notes. So she pulls out a pad and she's ready.
Yeah.
He said, now, he motions to the bailiff and they bring in this cart. And it's a cart about this high. It's got paper stacked on top of it and paper stacked in the middle. He brings it right up to the front of the courtroom in front of his desk. And he said, okay, something about this case has been bothering me all week long. He says, I haven't hardly been able to get this off my mind. He says, you might be wondering what all these papers are. He said, but these papers are transcripts of Mr. McDonald's medical records from Costa Rica. He said, I hired someone 2 days ago to translate all of these in English so we could figure out what they all say. He said, you know what? And furthermore, I'm just going to really cut this all short because I think Mr. McDonald has waited far too long to get justice in his case. And here's what's going to happen. We are granting him his disability as of today. But furthermore, we're going to be paying him back pay all the way back to 1992 from the very first time he ever went to a doctor about Crohn's disease. I'm talking about two people that walked out of a courtroom literally looking in the face of several hundred thousand dollars of a blessing. It wasn't just that they were going to get support from now on. God gave them back everything that could be imagined. And here's what I'm saying to somebody here today. That happened when two people said, you know what? I'm going to give. I don't have a lot to give, but I'm going to mix my faith with some action and do something for God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Does anybody feel the Holy Ghost here right now? Come on, does anybody really feel God moving here right now? So I'll bring us to this final thoughts here in the close of this text. Here's Elijah. He's following the plan of God. The Lord said, go to Zarephath. Widow woman's going to sustain you. He gets into town. He sees the widow woman. She's grabbing up sticks to make a fire. He don't know what she's doing, but she knows what she's doing. They don't have nothing left. They got just a little bit of meal in a barrel. In the bottom of a barrel, they got enough meal to scrape together to make one little cake. We're not talking about birthday cake. We're talking about like a pancake. Just a little old piece of cornbread. I don't know if y'all have cornbread out here. We got cornbread in the South. Oh my goodness, you don't know nothing about that. Brother Bonham knows about it. He's from South Carolina. Well, it wasn't even enough for a tortilla, I'll tell you that. It was a piece of cornbread. She's going to take that little bit of oil that she's got left. It's just enough to cook it. It don't sound too appealing anyway. I mean, as far as last meals go, I mean, I might would just skip it and go ahead and die. I mean, who wants to have that for a last meal? But she's preparing her last meal. And Elijah says, woman, he said, would you get me some water? Now, catch this now, because you read it. He says, woman, will you fetch me a little water that I could drink? And she says, sure, I'll be glad to do that. And she turns away and she starts walking to go get him some water.
Yeah.
She had no problem getting the water. She was on her way. She had no problem giving him that water. No issues about it at all. And while she's on the way, she hasn't got the water yet. While she's on the way, he says, ma'am,
Hold up a second. While you're getting the water, would you make me some food too? And then that's when she stops. Because then she says, now listen, I was okay with the water, but I can't do the food. And he's like, well, you know, you was right on your way. It didn't seem like it was a big deal. And she says, no, you know, I'm okay with giving you the water, but I can't give you the food. You see, here's what you got to see in this context here. The water was not a sacrifice. The water apparently did not cost her anything. The water may have come from a basin at her house, or it may have come from a well in the village, but wherever it came from, it did not cost her anything to give it. She felt like it was her obligation to give the water, so she was going to go give it. It's kind of like tithing. We got a lot of people in churches that they'll give their tithing to the Lord like clockwork. But man, when it comes to giving an offering, oh my goodness. There hadn't been no paper rubbed together in an offering plate in a long time. That tithe check, it'll get written right out. Signed away. Because we understand what the Word says about tithing, don't we? We believe what the Word says about tithing, and we know that we're obligated. Let me just throw something out here. People think that Christian people are the only ones supposed to pay tithe. Do you know that? Everybody believes that when you get in church, you give tithe. But that command wasn't given to Christians. There weren't even no Christians on the earth when Malachi 3:10 was written. That command is given to humans. That means that everybody that God created, He's commanded them to give a tithe unto the storehouse. Tithing isn't a Christian thing. Tithing is a people thing. Tithing is a human thing. Tithing is a command from God Almighty. Sometimes in the church, we just feel like we're so special because we give a tithe. And the Lord's saying, you're just doing what everybody's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I done hurt somebody's feelings here now. But that's how this woman was. She felt obligated to give the water. She could afford to give the water. And the water wasn't a sacrifice. So she didn't have no problem doing it. But when the man of God asked her to give something that was over and above what was required in her life, that's when she began to struggle with the decision. And she says, listen, I don't have enough to give you food. All I've got is enough to make one more cake. And me and my son, we're going to share that. And as we eat it, then we're going to die because there is nothing left. She already knew that what she had left wasn't going to be enough to save them. She already knew that she couldn't live on what she had. She already knew that what she contained and the ability that she had of her own possessions was not going to be enough to keep them alive. So her thinking was, I'm going to eat it and we're going to die. But the prophet begins to speak to her and he gives her another plan. He says, I don't want you to eat it and die. I want you to give it and live. Because he says, go and do like you said. But when you finish making it, bring it to me and I'm going to eat it. But while I'm eating it, go back and make yourself another one.
Yeah.
And then he said, because the Lord has spoken. And the Lord says that if you'll take what little you have and you'll act out on that faith that I'm speaking in your life right now, the Lord says that it's going to be returned to you. The Lord says that you're going to have enough for you and your son. That's what the Lord says. If you'll have faith and you'll put some action behind your faith and go and do that, you are going to be taken care of. And I don't know if that woman hesitated a moment further, but she went to that kitchen and she grabbed that cruse of oil out, what little bit there was, and she poured it into the pan. And she put that fire underneath it and started getting it hot. And she grabbed a little container. She got down on her knees beside that barrel. And she reached all the way down to the bottom. And she was scraping up the meal from the bottom of the barrel. She scraped it up to get every little crumb that she could get. She took the barrel and turned it sideways and got every crumb. She scraped it up together. And when she had it all out, she put it there into that frying pan. And she began to mix it up. And that cake began to form. And that cake began to come together. It started to rise.
and it began to do like a cake is supposed to do. And while she's looking at it and she's preparing it and she's twisting that kettle around just a little bit here and there, like people do in the kitchen, out of the corner of her eye, she notices there's a little bit of white left in the bottom of that barrel. And a thought goes through her mind and she says, I know there can't be no more meal in that barrel. I got everything out of it. But while she's making this cake, she looks in the barrel and she sees that there is another piece of meal in the, there's more meal in the barrel. So she gets up and she says, okay. She takes that cake and she runs out and she gives it to the man of God. Says, eat that. I got some more work to do. She goes back. She picks up the cruse of oil and says, there's still a little bit of oil in there. She dumps it out in the frying pan. She reaches down. She gets back down again with a little container. She scrapes the bottom of the barrel. And the more she scrapes, the more meal she finds. And she comes up with enough. And she said, I wouldn't have believed there was enough in there for two. And she dumps it in the frying pan. And she starts making it. And she's turning this way. And she's turning that. And she's making another cake. And while she's making another one, she looks over at the barrel. And lo and behold, there's more meal in the barrel. So she takes the cake and she goes to her son and says, here, eat this. She goes back to the barrel and scrapes up some more meal. And she looks and lo and behold, there's some more oil. And she begins to make it. And as she makes it, it comes to pass that she's got enough for the man of God. She's got enough for her son and she's got enough for herself. You see, there's a miracle in the making. There's a miracle that happens when you start taking it and putting it together.
Yeah.
There's going to be a miracle that happens here tonight when we say, I'm going to give it.
Yeah.
I'm going to commit it.
Yeah.
There's going to be a number coming through some of your minds. And that number, I feel this in the Holy Ghost right now. When pastor comes and he starts talking about how we're going to do this, that number is going to fly through your mind. I'll prophesy to you right now. There's going to be a number that comes into your mind. And the first thing you're going to think when that number comes in your mind is you're going to say, I don't think we can do it. I can't afford it. You're going to be saying like this, we don't have enough meal in the barrel to be able to make that kind of commitment. But here's what I'm telling you tonight. As the Lord is preaching, as the Lord is speaking here in this place tonight, I want somebody to say, you know what? I'm going to put my faith with action and I'm going to believe that God can help me. I may not be able to understand how it's going to come together, but in faith, I'm going to commit what I can do. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The very first week when it comes time to give, you're going to be down there like that widow woman scraping the bottom of that barrel. And when you pull it up out there, when you start writing that check to give it, you're going to find out there was some things that didn't happen that week that was supposed to happen. There were some bills that suddenly you got a credit in the mail. The insurance said you're getting a refund this week. And there's going to be things begin to happen and it's going to begin to build up. There's going to be checks in the mail. There's going to be raises on your job. There's going to be promotions. Oh, there's going to be things happen. There's going to be things happen like you have never imagined. You're going to get refunds. You're going to go to buy something at the store and they're going to say, today's a special day. We're having a 50% discount. Some of y'all think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you right now, this is what thus saith the word of the Lord. When you honor God in your giving and when you're faithful to God, I'm telling you right now, there is a miracle in the making. You can remain standing. But you know, one of the most powerful considerations about that miracle that happened was not what happened on that day, but it's what happened the next day. Because the next day, hear me now, the Bible never says that she ever had a full barrel. Because the next day, when she looked in that barrel, and she looked at the cruse of oil. There was just enough for one. Somebody, you got to feel what I'm feeling here right now. But the next day, she said, I'm going to trust in the word of the Lord. The next day, she's going to get back down on her knees. She's going to scrape the bottom of that barrel. She's going to take the last of that meal. She's going to put it in the pan with the last of that oil. And while she's making it, the next day, there's one more container of meal. Boom. There's one more cruse of oil. And she's going to take it. The next day, she's going to take it. And she's going to give her commitment. And when she gives it, there's going to be enough to take care of her family. And then she's going to give that to her family.
and there's going to be enough to take care of her. And that's not the end of the miracle, because the next day, there's going to be just enough for one more meal in the barrel. You see, some of y'all, you might be thinking, the only way I can really commit is if I get some kind of a windfall. The only way this will really happen for us to meet our goals here with this program is if somehow, you know, I win some relative of mine wins the lottery and gives me half. The only way this is going to happen is if my old jalopy gets in a fender bender and the insurance company says, we can't do anything with it, but here's $20,000. It ain't going to happen. In our mind, it's like the only way this is going to happen is if, you know, if the bank makes some mistake and they give me somebody else's money by accident. And for some discreet law, they're not allowed to take it back once it goes in my account. That's how the mind works, isn't it? Uh-huh. We got all kind of schemes going, you know. And we say things like, man, I'd really give to the church if, you know, somebody in my family won the lottery. You know, if that guy that has the publisher's clearinghouse shows up at my house, I'll dance in front of that camera too. They'll give me $1 million. I'll act crazy and I'll give half of it to the church. Let me just tell you what. Things like that rarely happen. Now don't think I'm not speaking of faith. Let me tell you how God moves. God uses broke widow women with one more meal in the barrel. We'll build every church that we need to build with people like you that are willing to go to that barrel one more time. We'll support every missionary on the list with people like you who will say, I'm going to make a commitment. It's a stretch, but I'm going to do it. And it might take my pizza money. It might take my burrito money. It might take my entertainment money, but I'm going to support that missionary. Let me just tell you right now, you're still going to have date night. God ain't going to steal your family time because you're supporting missions. I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost, you're going to commit to give money that you've got set aside for entertainment. And you're going to find out that God makes up that money somewhere else. And you're still going to be going out to that little weekly dinner with your family that y'all look forward to every week. Hear what I'm saying? God's going to step in. He's going to step in. You know what he's going to do? While you're making this thing happen, there's going to be a miracle take place. Because there's a miracle. There's a miracle in the making. It may not come all in one fell swoop. It's going to come week by week. It's going to come paycheck by paycheck. It's going to come in the mail. It's going to come in refunds. It's going to come in rebates. But it's going to come. Because there is a miracle in the making. In verse 13, Elijah said unto her, before he said, go, make the cake, and bring it to me, he said, fear not. I want you to lift your hands all over the sanctuary right now. We're going to go into a place of prayer right now. Everybody begin to lift your voice and call on God. We're going to go into a time of prayer, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. I want you to pray, Lord, remove my fear. Lord, remove my doubt. Let's don't act like we don't have fear. Let's not act like we don't have doubt. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, remove my fear. Lord, remove my doubt. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Begin to pray. God, give me vision right now. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, can somebody just call on the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Faith is rising in this place. Hallelujah. Something's getting ready to happen. Hallelujah. In just a few moments, when you begin to write those numbers down on those pledge cards, hallelujah, you're going to write some numbers down in faith. Hallelujah. And you're going to be releasing something in faith. And as you begin to put your action behind your faith, oh, something's going to happen. There's going to be miracles. There's going to be outpourings. There's going to be people at the altar praying through. There's going to be families coming home. There's going to be marriages coming back together. There's going to be financial situations that are restored. Oh, can somebody believe it right now? Hallelujah. All over the sanctuary, just lift up the Lord together.
Hallelujah. Just lift up the Lord together right now.